with you today. If you turn with us over the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'd like to start reading in verse 12. If you are willing and able and stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Boy, there's a lot of churches ought to get a hold of that right there. A lot of places it's a one-man show. You do as they say do. You sit where they say sit. The preacher barks when he says barks, and the preacher hushes when he says hush. Somebody say amen. He says, it's not one member. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Sound like to me we need other parts of the body. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Boy, I'd hate to know I missed out on smelling good country ham. Somebody say amen. Amen, brother driver. Say good preaching, preacher. But now watch this. Now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased you. Well, be sure you're reading your Bible with me. As it's pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Say that with me today. Are necessary. That's weak. Say it again. Are necessary. One more time. Are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no, is that schism? I thought that's what it said. I didn't want Miss Renee to correct me on the way home. I say some words sometimes. In other words, that means division, right? But that the members should have, watch this now, the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body. It's what I want to preach out of this morning. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You may be seated today. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the goodness of God. How good you've been to us. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few minutes. Direct my heart, my mind, my thoughts. I'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the right away in this service. Help us, Lord. I need your help today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to deal with this 1 Corinthians 12 today. And I want to give you the title out of verse 27, where Paul is writing to that real worldly church. They were very caught up in themselves. And he says this, "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Now I want to preach on this subject today, members in particular. Members in particular, the body of Christ. In verse 13, now isn't it amazing that God said in God's book that I read out of you today that the body of Christ is made up of members. A lot of people go by the wayside and they look and say, "Well, there's a pretty church." Well, it's a pretty building, but it's not the church. We are the church. The blood-washed ones called out of this old world, set apart to worship and serve God. So we see these members particularly, three things, and I'm done today. First of all, notice the Bible explains there is the making of the body. The making of the body in verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we've been bond or free, and been all made to drink into one Spirit." The making up of the body. I want to say, first of all, it is a unique work, making up this body. You'll notice that we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. He's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism is an ordinance of the church. Once you're saved, once you're born again, then Jesus wants us to follow Him in believer's baptism. The other ordinance is the Lord's Supper within the New Testament of the church. There's two. We practice those two. But here He's not talking about water baptizing you into membership. He's talking about the Spirit of God baptizing you into membership. You know, as Baptists, they've got two way highfalutin for the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, I thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm glad that He lives within inside the believer's heart. And He lays down with me and He gets up with me and He rides every day with me. I'm glad there is the indwelling Spirit of God. And in this makeup of these members, this making, I want to say it was a unique work. You notice we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. I'm glad Jesus said something in John 7 and verse 37. John 7 verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying," I like this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." In other words, Jesus had not yet ascended. The day of Pentecost had not come, when God allowed the Holy Ghost to fall upon the church. Now the Spirit of God indwells you and I. When our heart turns by repentance through faith and we trust Christ, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us. I want to ask you this morning, we see here in this making, there is a unique work. It is a crying. Jesus cried. This is what He said. Hear me well. If you're thirsty, there is a place you can drink. There is a fountain flowing from Emmanuel's vein. I'm glad if you're thirsty, Jesus can give you the water this morning. Oh, the making of the body. There was a crying. Then in Ephesians 4 and 4, aren't you glad that Jesus left a high place and He cried out and He said, "If you are thirsty, you can come and drink." Aren't you glad that Jesus died for everybody? Aren't you glad that He didn't die for a selective few? But the Bible said, and it does matter what the Bible says, He paid a ransom for all. You die and go to hell in your sin, you'll go as an intruder. For Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross for all of us this morning. Thank God, I'm glad I got a drink of water. Amen.
Some of you would go to acting like me if you'd get you a good drink. Somebody say amen. Oh my goodness, there's the making of the body. There was a unique work. There was a crying. Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to the fountain of living water. Oh, there is the making of the body, the unique work. It was a crying. But secondly, it was a universal work. There was a calling. Look in Ephesians 4. I want to say the Spirit is still calling today. In Ephesians 4, in verse number 4. The Bible says there's one body and one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. I'm glad He's in me this morning. Does He live in you? Are you saved? Do you know that you're born again? You say, preacher, that's old school. Thank you. Thank God I'm an old school, old time and country preacher. The Bible says you must be born again. There's not an option. You must be born again to go to heaven. There's a cry. There was a call. The Spirit of God deals with man. I'm glad the Spirit of God dealt with my heart. Where I used to go to church years ago, me and Mr. Renee was talking yesterday. Brother Ty is an old man of God named Brother Elmer Kaysen. He's a well digger in the community of Ranburn. The Germans had shot his legs out from under him. He got out of his car one Saturday, walked into my house, and when he walked out, something happened that had never happened. The man of God came in, but God stayed and convicted me of my sin. You say, preacher, have you got doctrine for that? Yeah, I've got doctrine, and I've got a testimony. I'm glad God has dealt with my heart and showed me I was a sinner. Hallelujah. There was a cry. There was a call. The Spirit must deal with your heart. No man comes to the Father except the one that sent me. Draw him. The Spirit of God must convict your heart. Aren't you glad that Jesus is calling? Aren't you glad that the Spirit is calling? This making up of the body, it's a unique work. It's a universal work. There's a cry. There's a call. Oh, what a great day, Friday. Brother Ryan texted me and said, preacher, can you come over the house? He said, Carson left church Sunday and something has went home with him. He's not been the same since he got home. No, he's been concerned. And I got there and said, Carson, do you want to be saved? And he said, yes. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The Spirit was calling. The Spirit wants you to come to Christ. He's doing His work and obey the call. Come while you can come this morning. Oh, there's the making of the body. And he says this. It's a unique work. There's a crying. Aren't you glad Jesus cried and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come. There's a universal work. There's a calling. But I want to say thirdly, there is a unifying work. There is a collecting. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So many liberal places today, they don't want you to talk about the blood. But I come to tell you this morning, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus did not spill His blood on the cross. Jesus shed His blood on the cross. And He shed that blood for you and I. And all this collecting work, He said, but now you're in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Boy, aren't you glad that no longer does Jesus have a wedge drawn between a race of people. Now He has died on the cross and He's died for the sins of the whole wide world. Let me tell you what, it's not black, it's not white, it's not male, it's not female. It's souls that Jesus died for. And let me tell you, it don't matter who you are, where you are, we're all going to meet God and give an account of our soul.
There's the making of the body. It's unique, it's universal, and it's unifying. Isn't that amazing? He said that within one body there are many members unifying, unity. Let me tell you, churches are never going no place until they have unity. Your home's not going to do anything till you have unity. You'll notice this great universal work, this unifying work. He said, back to our text now, he said simply this in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, for the body is not one member, but many. So there's the making of the body. Aren't you glad that you heard a message that Jesus loves you and He would save you? And it don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, His blood can wash you clean. You know something that morning? I want to say this. We don't have night service, so I can preach past 12. But I want to say this. If you would have looked at me 40 years ago, you'd have said, Ken's probably saved. He had the right haircut. He dresses nice. He knows how to say yes, sir, no, sir. But you see, nothing had ever happened on inside of Ken. But one day, the Spirit of God dealt with me. And all those wicked things that I'd done for my whole life, that day when I stepped out, Jesus washed away all of my sin. I'd be ashamed to tell you of where I've been and what I've done as a young man. But I'm not ashamed to tell you this. Jesus has forgiven me of all my sins. And I'm glad He loves us this morning. Oh, what a Savior. You see, there's the making of the body. Then secondly, look at the members of the body. He said in verse 2, or in verse number 13, for one, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now let's look what he says about these members, and I'm going to get on my last point and be done preaching. The members of this body, stay with me. It's real important. Look in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. I'm going to say, first of all, the members are placed. He said, I set them how it pleases me. And not only do we see members are placed, but in verse 18 we see that members are pleasing. It has pleased the Lord to put in the body those very important parts. Isn't it a blessing to be in the body of Christ today? And so we see this members placed, members pleased. And then verse 24, look at these members produced. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. In other words, he says, I have done such a mysterious work on the body that I am sure that these parts that you would really try to hold on to, they're pretty much going to stay in place the way that I designed them. So God hath tempered it. God has made it. God has simply, in our terms, has produced it. But lastly, look in verse 27. Not only are these members placed, and not only are they pleasing, not only are they produced, but they are particular. Verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. There's emphasis upon that word particular. It simply means it's out of the ordinary. There's a focus been placed on what God has done. Now this takes me to my third point this morning. Members particular. Not only do we see the making of the body, not only do we see the members of the body, which is all of us that are blood washed from the throne of grace, but now let's look lastly at the ministry of the body. The ministry of the body. Now, Brother Mike was preaching Wednesday night. I was watching that message. It's a great message. He got to talking about a church that had a name, but yet they was dead. It looked alive, but Jesus said, you know what? I look behind the door. I look under the covers. And y'all may say that everything is alive, but he said, I won't let you know you're dead. And you're dead as a hammer. You know, I was reading this week, Brother Mark, Brother Daniel, Brother Michael. I was reading where Jesus walked in a field with the disciples, and he gave this parable. There was a fig tree that came up, and he looked upon that fig tree, and it didn't have any fruit. You know what he done? He cursed it. He took it away. And you know what he said? I don't want this taking up the ground. I think a lot of times in churches in America, in our church alike, if we're not careful, that which God intended us to do will be taken away from us. Now, I want you to notice on the ministry of the body. Verse 15. Look what the Bible says. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I want to ask you today, you in the body of Christ, let's look at it this way in closing. The making of the body, it was found. The members of the body was formed. But now let's look at the ministry of the Bible and its function. What's the body supposed to do? I mean, what is the body supposed to do? He gives us a parallel with our physical body. I want to ask you something. Do you have a heart in the body? Does the heart that you have, does it beat for ministry? The heart that you have, does it have a heartbeat in it that is flowing through it, wanting to see God get the honor and the glory? Maybe God has given you a special heart in the membership this morning. Do you have a heart? Do you have, maybe you're a lung. Are you a lung? Are you providing air? Are you sucking air out? Have you ever seen somebody come to you and you sure hope that they skip you down at Piggly Wiggly because they're going to take the air out of you? Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. Are you a lung that brings in fresh air and great positive things to the people in the body of Christ? He's telling us that we all have parts. And he says that every part is very valuable. Let me give you this instance. Are you a heart? Are you a lung? Are you an arm? Do you do any reaching for Christ? Do you do any reaching for the church? Do you do any reaching for the ministry? Do you do any reaching for others? God has not put our body together that we may sit like this. And God has not put all this together that we stay like this. Are you an arm? Are you a hand? Do you ever reach your hand in kindness? Do you ever reach your hand to congratulate? Do you ever reach your hand to uplift in the body of Christ? What about your leg? Do you ever use your legs to run and tell others about the greatest friend that you've ever found? What about your feet? Are you always kicking things at the church? Or are you standing up and proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus? Oh, we have so many important parts. The eye. Do you have an eye that is discerning? Do you have an eye that is spiritual, that you're looking, that is souls that's going to meet God? Do you see an eye that when a brother and sister is hurting, does a tear ever come in your eye? Maybe you're a lung, maybe you're an arm, maybe you're a hand, maybe you're a leg, maybe you're a foot, maybe you're an eye. Are you an ear? Can somebody talk to you in confidence? I've heard people say now, I've heard it across America. Now, preacher, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but then don't tell me. Do you have an ear that somebody can... You know something? We need each other. We need people we can talk to in privacy. And we not turn around. It's not on the Facebook app. An ear. The body of Christ. What are you in the body? Are you a hand or you a thumb, a finger? You say, well, preacher, I'm such a little part. Let me tell you something. Little parts are amazing. I'll give you this illustration. I'll be done preaching in a minute. But I noticed it the other day with Renee out on the side beside. Brother David got him a mule. I've had a Polaris for years. I went traded, got me a mule. Now, that's not a four-legged mule. That's a Kawasaki mule. It's got engine and gas on it. Somebody let folks know we need gas in America. Amen. Y'all get quiet. I'll scare visitors. Don't make me scare visitors. But I noticed this. We call it Gator. I tell the grandkids, I got the lawnmower stuck at the lake, and I called Renee. I said, baby, bring the Gator. There I was, down at the lake, too close, stuck. Y'all ought to see me on that lawnmower as a sight. We got a winch on that Gator, Brother Jerry. I called it Gator, and I got to think, why didn't I call it Mule? Because it's a mule. You know why I call it Gator? Because I ain't got to move my lips. Watch this. Gator. Gator. Say mule without moving your lips. Some of y'all got a mule smile. Somebody say amen. But these parts are very essential. And you know, isn't it amazing how one little part affects the body? Have you ever had an earache? You ever had a toothache? I mean, that thing just sobbing. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Everything else is good. Man, I got a good right hand, left hand, feet's good. Knee's good. That toothache. It shut the whole body down. Any of y'all ever had a kidney stone? I was eating Brother David, Miss Sherry, man, Mr. Renee was down at Douglasville eating fish one night, and I was just pouring salt on that fish. Brother David looked at me. He said, preacher, you ever had kidney stone? I said, no. We got a word in Georgia. I be Johnny. That thing hit me Sunday night. I thought the world was coming to an end. He said, preacher, what do you say? Even though everything else was good, it shut me down. We must be careful in the body of Christ that we are doing our part. Let me ask you something. Does anybody have a knee? Do you ever bow and pray for anybody? Do you have a knee that you ever bow and pray for your man of God? You ever have a knee that you pray for your loved ones and your children that's going to die and go to hell? Do you ever bow your knee? I want y'all to look around just a minute. I want you to really think about something. I want you to think about something. Let's say that I was preaching to 15 people this morning. And I go in places where there's 15, 20, 30. And I see what they are accomplishing for Christ. You know why? They've got unity. Now, let me ask y'all. Y'all look around here this morning. Right after COVID and May. May is the most terrible time for church attendance. People's everywhere May. But I want y'all to think about something. What if the crowd just in this building this morning got together and done their part? I wonder what we would see. I mean, I wonder what we would see. We talk about this. Let me be real kind to you, but just real straightforward because only truth is going to help us. We talk about people not contributing to society and getting check after check and won't work. Let me ask you something. What are you contributing to the ministry? We love to throw a rock at them folks on the porch. It won't work. But let's bring it down to where I preach at. What am I doing to contribute to this body? I want to say that in Christianity, we must realize this. God has not saved us to build walls and burn bridges. God has saved us to tear down walls and make bridges. The body of Christ. I have never in my life, never, 60 years old, listen to me, I've never in my life had this kind of opportunity in the ministry. This may surprise you. Our church has never been in better shape than what it is this morning. 28 years, I've never seen it this good. But some things so lacking. Let's do our part. No, you're not an arm, but you could be an elbow. No, you might not can sing or play. You might not can teach and preach. You might not be the youth leader. You may not be a head of a ministry, but what can you do? All of us working together in unity. We all must have one goal, that Jesus be lifted. Jesus said, if you have love one to another, they will know that you're my disciples. Not how big your church gets, not how many buses you run. If you have love one for another, people have issues. It's no time to throw people to the curb with issues. We've all got issues and we need each other. There's people here going through storms. There's people getting older. Do you have any idea in life, you young people, what it is to get older? We need each other. I want to say something. I've heard a lot of people say, Christ don't need you, but Christ does need you. Brother Randall, he sent after a little donkey in a stable, and he said, you tell him, Christ hath need of him. Hey, Jesus has need of you. Young families, getting your babies up, getting them ready to come to the house of God. I know it's a chore. We've done that. But God honors that. Miss Sherry, would you come? The body in particular. You know, I wrote this down. Young people remember this. Older people remember this. In the body of Christ, we get to experience the benefits and the advantages of others. Yesterday evening, I got a call. I was on the way to Fort Payne to preach. I got a call. You know what somebody said? My wife listened to it on speakerphone. Preacher, I appreciate you. They're not in leadership. But they're doing their part in the body of Christ. What could you do for Jesus? I mean, has somebody got to put your name out on the side of the road and lift you up to... That's not what we're about. We're about a joint effort, unifying, lifting up Christ, seeing sinners to be saved, families restored, and people helped. Amen. Lord, you've been good to us. So good. I want to thank you that you've used so many of these people to help me and my family. It's helped this community. has helped preachers and pastors and evangelists and missionaries around this world. I want to thank you for that. Lord, may we see today how we could contribute more in the body of Christ. Would you put in our hearts to get big things done for you and through you in these last days? I'll be careful to honor you and thank you. I pray for those in our church that are hurting. Touch Brother Bart, Miss Kim right now, wherever they are. God, this family that is called has a great need. Would you move in their life and their heart? Thank you for saving Carson this week. God, would you save others? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.